Welcome to the Eagle Eye Podcast. The number one show to bring you all things Club America in English. From tactical analysis
pelota para la banda izquierda.
To player updates. We've got you covered on all the latest news on Las Águilas. Now, let's start the show. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of the Eagle Eye Podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping both the matchup against Tijuana and the penalty loss against Messi and Friends. And then, of course, we have some club news and transfer updates to talk about in regards to what's been going on in the January transfer window for Las Águilas del América. And then, of course, we'll finish it off with a preview against Santos for match day 3 coming up. That should be a fun and interesting matchup. But yeah, to help me do all of that and talk all things Club America, it is none other than Orange County's favorite resident. It is none other than Mr. Chris Rivera. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Good. Dish. Happy that we got the boys back, right? The first team. Happy with the results we got with the youngsters. In general, just very, you know, happy. I know we're not supposed to say this, but my birthday's on Sunday, so I'm going to be very quiet. I'm going to be very quiet and ghost that day because I'm not supposed to celebrate. I tell you that to myself, right? But yeah, in general, just very, very, very good.
Well, that's great. Happy early birthday then from everyone here in the Eagle Eye Podcast. I know a certain Brian would probably not be too content with that birthday shout out, but hey, we give nothing but love to Brian on this side as well. It should be an interesting weekend nonetheless. And then, of course, we just came from an interesting weekend, right, with Las Águilas del América. Obviously, that showcasing in Miami and Vegas, and then, of course, what the youngsters were able to do at home against Tijuana. And I want to start right off there. I want to start and jump in and just talk about kind of the merit that these youngsters have been doing in taking kind of charge with the first team being in preseason and what the youngsters have been able to achieve. So obviously the matchup ends in a 1-1 draw. Now, just straight off the bat, I'm going to ask you, do you think that's a good result, or do you think that this team should have definitely have gotten the 3 points?
No, I think it's a good result. I think, you always want to have high expectations no matter who is out there, right? It's America. It doesn't matter if you're a youngster. It doesn't matter if you're an older guy. It doesn't matter, right? There's expectations, and you need to surpass those expectations. With that being said, you know, maybe from an individual standpoint, you could be very critical of certain players, but overall, you know, you can't really complain over a draw with a bunch of youngsters with little experience. And while you could have gotten the dub, ultimately a draw isn't bad for kids that necessarily didn't have anything to lose out there.
Absolutely. And I think this is something that I broke down with in regards to this preview when I had Dylan on last week on the podcast. It was, even if you do get a result, even if you do get a draw, it's still considered a result because there's so much positives to take away from this matchup, right? You don't lose. You're still kind of undefeated in the season. The youngsters are showcasing that they can go toe-to-toe with practically most of Liga MX, right? This Tijuana side was no pushover last season, right? I know they had their ups and their downs, and maybe the start of the season right now hasn't been the best for them specifically, but it's not to say that this isn't a team that's capable of producing something. And the youngsters went toe-to-toe very well. I think that there was moments in the matchup where you saw that they lacked just a little bit of that experience, right? There was a lot of these players still green in the way that they passed the ball in the final third. The decision-making was maybe not as quick as you would want it to be. And sometimes those first touches weren't, I guess, all that great. But still, even with all of that, I think you look at this result and you think a draw isn't the worst case scenario. You not only get yourself 4 points on the table, and I think America sits third right now, if I'm not mistaken. So you've scaled pretty high already. And then the minutes that we were talking about all last year that was so dreadful for America, right? These 1,000 minutes that you have to get under your belt with all these youngsters. Now you have over 400. You're so close to 500, actually. So you're at the halfway point mark. Just two games into the season, which is remarkable. I don't think any other team has gotten close to that, Chris.
Yeah, and you kind of, for these youngsters, you're also kind of like crying out, right? You're trying to say, look, coach, you're going to have to put one of us out there. Put me out there, right? Because ultimately, that's what it was. I don't necessarily think you're going to see a lot of these youngsters get significant minutes throughout the season, but injuries happen, right? And we are playing other tournaments, and this rule isn't just going to go away next year, in the summer league, right? It's going to be a continuous thing. So right now, the important thing is to kind of say, hey, here's where I am, and use me, right? So ultimately, like, you can't complain of how it went. We're coming minutes, and in case we have to put one of them out there, I do think, you know, there is a handful of players that raised their hands and said, look, you could use me. You could play me. It's not going to be this big of a risk if you try me out.
Absolutely. There was a couple of youngsters that really made big impact, or at least resonated with a lot of fans, right? I mean, you're talking about Patricio Salas, Esteban Lozano after his goal. Isco, which is someone that we've definitely been very high about on the podcast. The youngsters, obviously, Dagoberto, we've seen plenty of him last season, again, stepping it up in the midfield now, right? A more natural position for him. So he's looking very well. Who was that that right back that played on Thursday? Was it
Portales? I thought he played, but Portales was a CM, wasn't he?
I'm pretty sure he was a right back. Hold on. I'll bring up the names. But in the... Regardless, well, yeah, the youngsters showcased a lot.
Really good. Yeah, he really looked really, really good.
Rosano as well. I mean, all of these youngsters played very well, and they demonstrated that they're very much capable of playing in these high-intensity matchups. A lot of the fans are ready to kind of bolster them up and say, you know what, we have a really good cantera. They're ready to make the next step forward. And I agree with a good chunk of these players have demonstrated that they are capable of getting minutes with the first team. Now, my only criticism and my one criticism here that I said I would bring onto the podcast in regards to the youngsters is, can they do it at the senior level? It's one thing to look good and it's one thing to look great and to play great when you've been playing alongside players and teammates for the past 3, 4, 5 years. It's easy to look good when you've been playing with a system, with players that you know very much well. So it's a lot easier to look comfortable and to play well when you're in that environment. It's, can you take the next step forward? Can you jump into the first team? Can you adapt to that level, to these players, and showcase and still come out on top? That is the one criticism that I think we have with these players is, can they do it with the elite players, with the first team players? Can a Patricio Salas shine the way that he did if he has a Brian Rodriguez and a Alejandro Sendejas on the wings and a Diego Valdez behind him, right? Can an Isco Ramirez do the job of a Diego Valdez and fill in that role and make key plays and demonstrate that he can orchestrate the midfield? You know, it's little details like that that I think we need to remember as well. Because one thing to praise them, yes, they deserve all the praise, right? They got 4 points out of 6. Phenomenal. But they did it as a unit, Chris. They did it collectively. It wasn't an individual brilliance. And it's not to say that, you know, obviously this is a sports team, right? Not just one person wins you a match. It's a team. But can you pick a couple players out of there, drop them into the first team, and can they shine and can they produce results the way that they did with the U23 squad?
Yeah, and this is where I get very critical, and I know a lot of people hate criticizing youngsters, right? Especially a team filled with it. But I said it in our group chat, if I'm not mistaken, where that goal that Cholo gets, people are going to sit here and blame Isco right away because it's like, you know, why you are holding onto the ball and whatnot. And then you watch the replay and it's like, there's no one checking in with them. Obviously, he's going to hold onto the ball, trying to force something that's not there. And what happens? Errors, right? And this is where you say, like you say, you know, can they do it in a senior level? Some of these youngsters, as talented as they may be, I've said this a billion times when it comes to defending Sandejas when he has a bad game, when the fundamentals are there, the talent is just extra, right? But if you all you have is talent and you're lacking fundamentals, you're just another guy. Reality. You're going to do more damage towards the team than actually help the team. And that's what I saw a little bit of the unit. Mind you, experience matters, right? Maybe it's just simply, you know, the moment's too big. They're trying to try out. They're trying to impress. So what do? They hold on to the ball a little bit too long. They see a guy open, but they know that they could probably force something and score or something, you know. And that's kind of what you saw in these two games. Mind you, the important thing people are going to say is the result. And obviously, we applaud them, right? But when we're talking about opportunities, well, you have to think about it from a coaching standpoint. I've told you a billion times before, Ivan, first teams are not for development. First teams are for results. So where you develop players is in the academy, and then they become ready to be used in the first team. And there they have to compete for their spots. While some of these players are there, right? We could sit here and select like one by one and say, well, who can make that jump? Well, you said Salas. To me, Salas brings something that as just Mexican strikers in general don't have. The only one that has it is probably Raul Jimenez, which is a lefty who can pull his mark, drop down, be creative, do all that stuff. And then Martin can do that too, but just he kind of blossomed into that later on in his career, right? And no other striker that on top of my head is capable of doing all that. But like you said, can he make it click with all the veteran players where he does a move and that guy who is smart enough, who has the experience, who's good enough, knows where exactly he needs to go to make that play, right? Or the other way around. And like you said, people don't want to criticize youngsters because it's like they're young and obviously there's a bias when it comes to Mexican players. But the reality is, like, I'm not from what I saw, at least, I think some of these players are more deaf, that some players are just not first team ready players, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, and like by no means is this criticism meant to kind of discourage anybody listening to this and thinking, oh, you know, they don't believe in the youngsters or they don't think that America has quality in their cantera. And the reality is that we do. We feel like there are players that can come into the first team and do a very good job. Within these next couple of years can kind of break through and be a key role in this Club America side. But right now, at the moment, as things stand, maybe there's one or two that you could think off the bat can do something this season, but the rest still need to transition and work their way into it. But like I said, it's just systematically speaking, the way that these two games went for America was great. Obviously, the team has been playing with each other for years now, right? So it's natural for them to understand how they play, the fast tempo, the fast pace, the movement, knowing that who's going to go bursting down the wings, who's going to be covering what spaces. Like, that's all understood. And that's why maybe they had an edge over Querétaro. Maybe that's why they looked much better at times with Tijuana, is because they had a much longer time playing with each other. They have a much better understanding of each other. So it's a lot more natural than, you know, having to adapt to the start of the season with a couple of new players and this, and that. So, again, it's not to discourage anyone listening to this and thinking, oh, we don't believe in these youngsters. It's more of saying, let's throw caution to the wind a little bit and let's take it one step at a time. Right, I'm not saying that these players should all of them deserve a first starting opportunity. It's let's work them in slowly, and let's see who's willing to take the opportunity to, you know, make a name for themselves when they do get minutes. And that's the important part. It's who can showcase it, who can be the one that's the most hungry out of all of these guys to want to break it into the first team. And from the look of it, talent is not going to be an issue. It's like you mentioned, the fundamentals and understanding of how you can work your way and fit into a system. That is going to be the hard part. And we'll see which one of these youngsters is able to break into the first team and figure it out. But it is exciting. It definitely is exciting to see that there are youngsters that could potentially come into the team and have a good performance. But yeah, ultimately, the game ends 1-1. But I do want to highlight that, even though this team went down, Chris, the resilience to come back up and not put their head down and, you know, come back and potentially could have won it, like, at least three or four times in the second half after drawing level, again, speaks volumes, no?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, one thing I wanted to point out was, you know, the possession was very bad for us. But these players were always able to just get it back and become, you know, a good attacking team. You know, like the possession is kind of one of these things where, yeah, you would say based off stats, Cholos was dominating because of that. But it wasn't necessarily like, oh, they were just spinning the ball out. Mind you, there were times where they're spinning the ball out, right? But it was more of these, they're attacking, they're there, they could score, and just that little decision-making that could have made a difference just didn't go their way. And that's what I mean, right? They were probably too focused on the individual instead of the oh, look, that guy's open, I'm going to pass it to him, he's going to shoot. It's more of a, like, oh, man, I don't like that last second where he has to decide. He already made it to, like, it was already a late decision, and now the other guy's already covered. And it's like, you know, it's little things like that. Again, I do think these players are going to see minutes in the Santos game, and we'll get into that in a bit. But again, I wouldn't. Also, if you're a fan of Youngster, you don't want them to be thrown out there. You want them to slowly get into the first team, right? Because the last thing you want is a youngster that's not ready, who has potential, going out there creating errors and getting all this heat on them either, right? Like, you don't want that. We've seen it throughout years where other teams or our team, where they're the youngster and you're just like, why is he out there? Oh, you see the potential. Emilio Lara, for example, right? We all were hyped about him. We all see the potential in him. And the moment was just too big for him. And you saw him crumble through all that heat. And at the end of the day, you know, we loaned him out, and hopefully he does recover his potential. But stuff like that could ruin a youngster. So it's best to just let him develop, let him, you know, get experience, and then we'll see how it is in a year or two, where if they bounce back or they just fall into the darkness of whatever, you know, like, you just have to have patience.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think that the moment will come for these players is just, like you mentioned, just slowly, gradually bringing them into the first team. And look, it's to be honest, America isn't in need of any certain player to break in right now. I mean, we're good. We're with a very good, healthy squad, a very good, talented squad. The argument can be made that we can bolster up in certain positions, but it's not to say that we're in need of a canterano to come up and kind of fill the role that someone left behind. At the moment right now, it's, can you come in, can you do good, and can you kind of make a name for yourself, and then go on from there. So, that is that. But yeah, ultimately, America ends up drawing this one 1-1. Again, positive results and positivity really just all around this matchup. And like I mentioned, 4 points out of six. It's already a much better start than last season when we only had 3 points out of six. And like I mentioned, third in the table right now, which is not somewhere where we were at last season. So things are starting to look a little bit better. I know it's barely two games into it, and we shouldn't read so much into the league table right now. But again, if I'm trying to draw positives out of anywhere and everywhere that I can right now, then I'm looking at that specifically and I'm saying, okay, this is something to kind of celebrate in a sense and say, you know what? They did good. They did great. Now we can continue to move on forward with the season. And move on forward, we will, because just a couple days later, America was playing again, but this time on Saturday. And Chris, well, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and let's hope that that's the case for a couple of these players and their performances against Inter Miami. It looked well. It looked great. It looked well. And ultimately, it ended up crumbling to the ground. A 2-2 draw that ended up in penalties, and where I don't even think America players wanted to take penalties at that point. I think they were just ready to go home and start the celebration of the Tricampeonato. But unfortunately, contracts and rules and stipulations made it so that America had to go out there and play penalties. Ultimately, we didn't take any good penalties whatsoever. Ended up losing that game to a 17-year-old from Inter Miami who won that penalty shootout for them. But in the end, there are positives to take away from this game, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I said it, right? I listened to the podcast you guys had with the Inter Miami fans, and I saw the one where you were on it. Man, their podcast is funny, man. I was watching it, and I was seeing their yeah. their comments.
Yeah, they're pretty funny.
I was laughing, bro. I was like, man, I'm going to become an Inter Miami fan because these guys are funny. But the point is, you know, one thing I just didn't agree with was how, I don't know if you said it or one of them said it, saying that basically this was more important for us than for them. I think, and it was more because they're Inter Miami and it's Messi. And I didn't agree with that narrative, right? I think the importance was just what it is, a preseason, to get into this form, to this, like, feel, right? To me, that was an important thing. The important thing wasn't the matchup. We could have had a matchup against a high school team, you know, and it would have been the same thing. The all important thing was to be healthy, right? Come out healthy and to get into rhythm. You know, I think, you know, you said it yourself, right? This is this team hasn't had a legit preparation for the season in about 2 years. Mind you, we've had friendlies, right? But it was kind of like the season ended, and oh, well, here comes the next game. You're going to have to play it, right? That Barcelona game, for example, the Chelsea game, for example. You know, these games where it's like, yes, it's a friendly, but it's more of like, you're not really resting players. You're not necessarily doing all of that. That's the whole reason why we played these youngsters to begin with. It wasn't just because of the academy or the youngster minutes. It was more of like, okay, look, these players were banged up all season, you know, and a month vacation could really help them, you know, and that's what it was. It was a month's vacation. It was a month of just resting players, letting them heal up from their injuries, right? Right now, we only have one injured player, and that was Igor, who had a serious injury, right? Everyone else was just getting banged up left and right, and it wasn't like tears. It was muscle, right? And when it's a muscle injury, it's usually because you're overworking that muscle. So I didn't agree with the label of how important this matchup was, but it was important to go out there, perform, play good. You know, obviously the result would have been nice because at the end of the day, you don't want to lose any game, right? But even when it comes to these games, it doesn't even feel like a loss. It just feels like we tied and we want to make one side of the fan base happy, right? Because everyone's going to leave mad if it's a tie, right? So what, you do penalties, get it over with. So on one, the little CIF title or whatever, like it was like a whatever thing, right? So that's how I felt. You know, I'm happy with the performance. I wasn't that happy with the performance in the second half because, let's be honest, that second goal should have never happened, right? And then part of me was just kind of like, if I wanted to rig this, it's going to be in the last second. That's how I genuinely felt. You know, I felt like if you're going to just end this game, you got to send it to penalties and make everyone just, you know, may say, oh, it was worth it, whatever, you know. But I don't know. Ultimately, I was just, you know, happy that we looked smoother than how we did last offseason, right? Last offseason, you and I were very arguing about how bad they looked in League's Cup and all that. And with this, it looks just way smoother, right? Obviously, there's still games pending, right? League games, but ultimately, it does feel like it was a way healthier team.
It did. It looked like that at the beginning when America started off with the ball in the first half with all the starters. It looked like they were getting themselves back in rhythm. They looked healthier. They looked rested. And they were playing like it, right? And I agree with you. The second half was just absolutely horrendous. There was a couple of players there that I thought were going to try to make an impact because they were on the fringe of, were they going to be starters? Were they going to be depth players? Where were they going to fall in line in the depth chart? And really, honestly, nobody came out on top in that one. Everyone really just looked very flat. I don't know if they just felt like the game was kind of over, done and dusted after the Israel goal, or exactly what, because they knew that Miami was going to have to take off all these starters and that they were going to start playing against their B team. But really, honestly, we looked just terrible in that second half after that second goal. And it's a little frustrating because you want to see these players perform and try to win a first team position. And, you know, I'm not saying that if you were going to score a goal or two against Inter Miami that you were going to get that starting position, but it would have helped you along the way with making an argument. But if we do want to focus on the positives, and I do think that this is exactly what we want to do, yeah, that first half looked very interesting, very well. I think you look at a team that is going up against an Inter Miami that, again, hasn't played for months, not just a month, for months, and they're trying to get back into the rhythm of things as well. So they looked a little bit off pace as well. But, you know, Cáceres did a very good job containing Messi. I think Henry Martin did well in making movements, looked a little slow at times, but I do think that as the season progresses, he'll get back into the rhythm and look a little bit sharper, look a little bit quicker. Brian Rodriguez looked absolutely amazing. It looked like he needed a little bit of a rest, and he was back on it, sparking the offense. He was taking on players. He looked quick and sharp on the ball, and that's what you want to see. Sendejas, maybe not the brightest of games, but again, sometimes that's what he does so well and kind of blends in and does the little details that maybe we don't kind of appreciate in the moment, but are very much important to the game. But yeah, ultimately, I think that this was a good indication of what we might see against Santos. At least formation-wise, I do think that we're going to see a 4-3-3 at least again against Santos. It looks like Jardine wants to go back to his preferred formation, right? And if he has the coverage at center back in the depth chart, he's going to want to continue to play with that. We saw the 5-3-2. Don't get me wrong, it didn't look terrible, but again, it didn't showcase a lot of bright spots. It looked like how it looked for the entirety of the season, Chris. It looked very dull, very flat, and it was, could you get something on the counter? Pretty much, right?
Yeah. So, and maybe that was part of the preparation, right? So you can say, hey, anything could happen this season, you guys need to get used to this formation, because if anything happens, we're going back.
Yeah, we're going to have to falter back to that. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being kind of Club America's, you know, break just in case of emergency type of situation. But yeah, it was a good first half. I mean, Henry's goal was very well orchestrated. It was a very good passing movement by the whole team. And then it was unfortunate that Messi scored the way that he did. But I guess everyone wanted to see a Messi goal. So at the end of the day, I guess fans can't say that they didn't see the GOAT, if you want to call him that.
no.
Score. But other than that, yeah, it was a good matchup. It was a good game. And at least for the first 45 to 50 minutes, America showcased that they were looking better, right? And the one thing I do want to say is I don't think there's any cause for concern or any reason to press a panic button over just one game or one result, especially in a preseason matchup. But if it's one thing to kind of try to talk anybody off the ledges, America never looked like they got out of second or third gear, right? They never looked like they were even trying to. They felt very comfortable. They felt very much at ease and saying, you know what? We don't even really have to go full gear in order to kind of get away with something here. So that should give a lot of comfort to a lot of people. And when watching this game and thinking, well, you know, can this America side be a competitive side? And I think, you know, we'll see a much more competitive side come this weekend rather than what we saw at Vegas in Allegiant Stadium. But ultimately, I guess, it was cool to see the reaction, the fans, everyone enjoy their time. And it was also funny seeing Miguel Vasquez ask Messi for his jersey.
A lot of people are going to get mad, but it's kind of expected with these youngsters and all these players to go and ask them for pictures and all that, right? I know it's a rivalry between Mexicans and Argentinians, but let's also be honest with each other. If you grew up being a kid and you wanted to be a certain player, it was Ronaldo, it was Messi, it was Neymar, Sergio Ramos, players like that, right? So for these kids to be starstruck and say, oh, look, I played against them and it's the end of his career, but I still played against them, like, it's a dream come true. It's kind of like a I made it moment, right? And it's good for them too, right? To have those moments early on, because then it's like, man, I could go even farther than just, you know, meeting him. So it's a cool moment.
No, yeah, it absolutely is. And I know me and Brian weren't too happy seeing some of these youngsters in the middle of, like, the pitch asking for these jerseys and signatures. I'm fine if you do it behind closed doors. If you go into the dressing room, into locker rooms, you guys exchange and go and ask. I'm fine with that. Just don't do it in front of all the cameras, you know? Have a little bit of, you know, self-discipline there and just hold off, step back, and then if you want to do
as it, as long as they're not asking for a Chivas jersey, brother. Because remember in the pandemic when everything
was like, we saw what that happened.
So as long as it's not that, bro, as long as it's not that, I'm okay with it.
No, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what more could we take away from this game? I really don't want to draw it out. I really don't want to look too much into it. I kind of just want to leave it at is and say, you know what? It was a good rep. Just exactly what you echoed, right? It was a good rep. It was good minutes played. And the most important thing is you got out of there healthy, no injuries, and you got some repetition. Simple as that. Right? I think that's what both teams wanted to get out of this. You know, the result was secondary. So.
It's preseason. Right, if you look too deep into it, you're not going to get much out of it. If we're being completely honest, like I said, you don't want to lose games, but it's a preseason game, so it's like, how much are you going to be stressed out of this? Right, you're not going to be stressed out of this. The whole point is sparring, right? Like, I always compare it to like MMA or boxing because it's like sparring. You go in there, you spar a guy, you're not going 100%, you're going 50, 40%, maybe 60, depending, right? Sometimes it could get heated, but the whole purpose is, all right, let's just maintain some rhythm. Let's get into shape. And then once we're 100, right, we're just going to go all out. And that's the whole point of this, right? That's why it was also important to use these youngsters in those two games because, again, if you need them later on, hey, they got their reps in too. So we could use everybody, right? So That's how I view all these last three games. It's not, you can't look too deep into it. I do think once you start facing the tougher competition, that's when we're going to have these serious talks of, okay, you know, what do we have to change? What is doing good? This and that. But right now, it's just simply, you're floating and you're getting ready to swim.
Yeah, just basically tread water and stay afloat. Simple as that. And I think America did very well in that department, at least, in that regard. Well, I think that's pretty much all I have in regards to this one. Just one last thing, and I think everybody would want us to talk about this in regards to the Messi celebration to the America fans. Your quick take on it. I mean, did you feel as passionate as all most of these fans on Twitter that despise now Messi after supporting him in the World Cup? Or where do you fall in between the line of, you know, disrespectful and just kind of gloating?
You want my honest opinion, bro? I wasn't offended because I don't think he's as aware of the fan base that he did it to, right? Like, if it was a national team game, yeah, I will see the fans. But I think most Americanistas, and honestly, most fan bases in Mexico don't care for that whole national team as much as some people do. And this is me just, you know, kind of looking around, seeing, like, mind you, I'm a Messi hater, bro. I'll go off on him if you want me to, but in the end of the day, like, I'm just like, bro, I just laughed. I'm like, bro, are you aware? Like, that's not Mexico. Like, you doing that to America, pointing three? Like, bro, you know, we just won three in a row. Like, you know, yeah, like that's all I
got. That was hilarious.
Like, you know, like, that's all yeah, I said. I just laughed. Funny. Yeah,
same. I couldn't help but to laugh even more after the game ended and just seeing reactions from people that weren't even Americanistas, that were getting offended, that were getting upset, right? That were like, oh, Messi, you know, this and that. And I'm just like, your team wasn't even involved in whatever was going on. Like, you know, he definitely misinterpreted the fact that, you know, America fans were booing him, and he thought, well, they're Mexican, so I'm just gonna tell him, you know, my country's won 3 World Cups and yours has 0. But it's like you mentioned, like, a good chunk of Americanistas will be like,
mind you, he did it in the States, bro. Like, that's the thing where it's like, if we were in Mexico, okay, I kind of understand it, but this fan base is so mixed, and I'm not even saying like, oh, they're American fans, they're Americans, right? Like, I'm not even saying that, but it's just like, you're not aware of, like, one, you're doing it to a club who probably didn't care after the year they just had. We're the last fan base to care about what happened in the World Cup because we just won a bunch of championships, you know? So it's kind of, and then you're right about the whole pointing out other fan bases. I saw Monterrey fans posting videos, I'm stepping on Messi videos. I'm like, what did that have to do with us? You know, like, that has nothing to do with America. Like, you know? Like, if it's Bengals with Monterrey, cool, go Bengals with them, not with us.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, and then Bofo Bautista got into it as well. It's like, dude, like, you're the team that you're supposed to hate. You're getting in, you're trying to defend them in a way, or what exactly is what? I don't get where his.
You'll call us rats.
Yeah.
And then defending us, like, if we were to tell any American, which side you want, Messi or Bofo? Come on, bro. We're all going to say Messi. Come on.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely never, ever in a million years would we ever do that to any Chivas player, any institution named Chivas. So yeah, that it was just funny. I think that it was just a little bit blown out of proportion from media and from people that aren't Americanistas, weren't necessarily, not saying that they weren't there, but necessarily weren't, I guess, in the right headspace to be like, hey, you know, defend America or defend the nationalism that is Mexico and this and that. And I get it. It could be a very slippery slope when you're talking about stuff like that. But at the end of the day, for us, it's just, it was America. It was an America game. It was a preseason game. We just want to go out there, have fun. And the fans always get into it with the other team and the other team's players. So it's nothing new to us. You know, if there's a response, you're just gonna hype the crowd more to go out there and, you know, criticize you more in the sense. So again, I think it was blown out of proportion in that sense. It was funny to see it from different perspectives that weren't Americanista perspectives. But yeah, no, I don't think any Americanista lost sleep over that little messy celebration. So that was the only thing I had in regards to this. But yeah, chalk it up to it is what it is, and what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. In that sense. So America draws 2-2, loses in penalties, and then travels, just takes a red eye flight and lands in Mexico City for their celebration. And what looked to be really cool, Chris. I thought it was nice. Production could have been a little bit better, but at the end of the day, the sentiment was there and it looked like a good time for whoever went.
Yeah, I was, my mom actually, I sat here the YouTube video. I was just like, oh, like, look at this. And she's like, do you wish you were there? I'm like, bro, I would have loved to have been there, you know? Like, the whole thing was just so cool to me, you know? Like, obviously, I agree with you. The production and all that could have been a little bit better. Could have probably been a little bit longer, too. But maybe because I kind of didn't do the whole bus thing. I just kind of just watched when they were in the stage. But either way, I would have loved to have been there. I know you, everyone, you know, every Americanista that watched it probably got the chills of them being on stage doing the Diego Valdez dance, singing, and
getting the Diego Valdez man was so fun.
Everything, right? Yeah, like, I was just like, man, like you got to love it. Like, like, real Americanista, like, you kind of wish they always did this, right? You with other championships. Absolutely. Because, you know, even when we win the championship, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm sure some of the listeners are. Right away, I'm on Instagram waiting for one of them to go live while they're celebrating inside the bus and all that. Like, I just love moments like that. You know, I love going on TikTok and watching all those videos. It's super cool. You see the human side of things. And just like you're hyped as a fan, it's cool to see them hyped as the players that achieve that greatness, you know?
No, absolutely. I agree with you. I think there is something that connects us all in that sense. And it was really just a beautiful moment for the Americanismo to see a team celebrate such a historic achievement, right? And can you imagine what a celebration of a Tetra Campeonato would be like, you know? Just unprecedented in that sense. So, yeah, I do agree that it was a very nice, touching celebration. A lot of cool videos, just a lot of cool memories that were brought up. And it looked like there was a lot of fans, actually. When the camera panned out, I was like, wow, there's a lot more than what it sounds like there's out there. I don't know if it was, again, production issue that you didn't really hear all the audio the way that it was supposed to. But still, a lot of fans showcased. A lot of fans went out there. And if by any chance any of you listening to this were there, I mean, congratulations. We envy you in a sense, because you got to witness and celebrate something so epic and magical, like that Diego Valdez dance in live in person. Absolutely amazing. but now that we're talking about club and just kind of club news and perspectives and all that stuff. I know a lot of people want to know what's going on in the transfer window. Not a lot of movement, not a lot of pieces going around, Chris. And the one thing, and we did just mention his name, Diego Valdez, looked like he was in a hot seat to move to MLS. It looked like Portland maybe had submitted a bid. And then news broke out that that was false. No bid has actually been submitted. It looks like, again, Valdez is a little bit in limbo. Does he stay? Does he go? I think the team is analyzing a couple of offers. Whether or not some of them look lucrative for the player and for the club, we'll have to wait and see. But it doesn't look like anything concrete, at least, for Diego Valdez is there. Now, on the other hand, the only player that looks like might be leaving is Richard Sanchez. The only thing is, Racing and Club America look like they have finally settled for a price tag. Now it's, can Richard settle a wage with Racing? He's asking for a lot of money, obviously, for the player that he is. But will that saga come to an end? I'm not too sure. You know, we'll see what happens. I know there was rumors that Nestor Araujo could also be leaving for Monterrey. I don't know what you know about that.
So Carlos Salcedo was their newest signing, and he got hurt in the first practice. So they're looking for Mexican options. They have some youngsters that they kind of looking at from that are loaned out that they want to recall. But it does look like Araujo is in the top of the list. They're a player that I guess they've always liked, but obviously he signed with us. I don't know where the club stands with Mr. Araujo, but I do think it's a move that we should definitely look to move away from, right? I do think Nestor's time with us has gone. Maybe he's a really good locker room president, but at the same time, he's blocking minutes from a guy like Miguel Vasquez, who, you know, it's very confusing to me because you would assume he'd be ahead of Nestor in the depth chart. And I do think he is, but then there's moments where you're just like, well, is he? Because in the final, we had Araujo in the bench and we didn't have Miguel Vasquez, but we played and started Vasquez in the semifinal game against Cruz Azul. Personally, I would move on from him. I'm sure a lot of the fan base agrees. We'll see what happens in these last weeks, right? But personally, I would. I do think the source is legit. But as of right now, he's just on the short list. We don't know exactly what they're going to do with that.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, I think all of us are ready to kind of package and deliver Nestor Araujo at Monterrey's door if that is the case. And I do agree that this is something that America should look into potentially making it work. And if there was one team that he could go to that would potentially pay him somewhat of a close salary to what he's making with us, obviously it would be Monterrey. And I mean, again, I don't see why not. I don't think you're bolstering Monterrey's defense any more so than, you know, that they would have had with Salcedo. So, again, it's a no-brainer to me. It's just, I guess, the logistics of it and the economical side of it as well. How much are they going to put in for Nestor Araujo? And, of course, the wages for that to make all sense. But, hey, I guess we'll see. And as the story develops, you guys can follow it over on our Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast. We'll keep you guys up to date with everything going on with the world of Las Águilas del América. Again, no concrete movements whatsoever, but I do want to remind everybody we are a week and a half away from the window closing. So expect these next couple of days, if not by the start of next week, for things to really amp up. You know, someone's got to go. Igor's got to get registered, and maybe one more person goes, and maybe we could potentially bring in another signing. But again, it all comes down to the negotiation side of things. Can you get the deal over the line? And again, it'll be interesting. Again, for all the news and to keep up to date with everything going on in the world of Las Águilas del América, follow us over again on Twitter at Igor Podcast. And again, I can't stress that enough. Just follow us over on Twitter. We'll keep you guys up to date. We do our best to filter through all the rubbish and give you guys the most concrete information that we possibly can. With that said, is there anything else to add, or should we jump ships to Santos?
No, I don't think there's anything. We covered Richard, Araujo, and Valdez, so we should be good.
Yeah, again, once there's more concrete news, then we'll dive into it, and then we'll talk about, you know, what these absences could mean for America if and when they do happen. No need to kind of hinder on the what-ifs, you know, until there's anything concrete, then we'll go into the depth of it all. But yeah, let's move on and talk Santos. This is practically what it feels like is going to be the first game of the season for America, Chris, even though we're two games into it already. But it's a road game, and something that I've stressed about ever since we left is that it seems like everything nowadays is a road game for Las Águilas del América. This matchup, what can we expect? At least, what do you expect to see from this matchup? Jardines' first game, again, back in the coaching area. Do you expect him to go full out? Do you expect a very mixed formation or rotation of squad? You kind of mentioned it. The youngsters are going to possibly get some more minutes in this game. Where do you see Jardines, or how do you see Jardines approaching this one?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a mixture of players. You obviously want to take every single team series, right? And that's kind of been the topic about playing these youngsters and how you're not necessarily respecting these teams and whatnot. But I do think, you know, you have to look at that preseason game against Miami and say, okay, this guy's not 100. Maybe play him, right? This, you know, these youngsters look good, this and that. You also have to take into consideration that you still need to cover those youngster minutes, right? And it's Santos. Like I said, you don't want to disrespect teams, but Santos are a mess right now. You know, they lost yesterday with two own goals. You know, like, it's really, really bad over there. So you kind of want to take advantage of that. Yes, you want to have your key players ready to go, whether they're on the bench or starting. But I do think you have to have a mixture of players. I think you kind of have to look at what worked in this game, these games against Querétaro and Cholos, and kind of repeat. Maybe you don't want to rush Henry, right? Because you don't want to get him injured, whatever the case may be. You know, Aguirre didn't play against Miami. Maybe you play him. Maybe you don't play him because he's not ready, whatever the case may be. You know, the point is you want to have these rotations. Some of the youngsters flew out to Miami, like we said. Maybe those are the players that they're kind of looking at saying, okay, you guys are going to get these minutes. You guys are going to get these crucial minutes from the youngster perspective. And they're going to be out there playing, you know. It's hard to say, but I do expect, you know, a mixture of lineup. You know, maybe it's not a mixture of youngsters, but it could be a mixture of the bench. You know, it could be the bench and the youngsters with the key players in the bench, you know, but yes, I expect the mixture to be out there.
That's interesting, because I would have hoped for him to want to start with his starters and maybe eventually work his way into bringing in a couple of the bench players. But I could see where you could maybe potentially start a couple of these bench players, give some of those starters even more of a rest that you feel like need to get a little bit more rest, and then slowly transition them back into the starting 11. Again, it'll be interesting. I think for the most part, we'll definitely see Malagón in goal. I don't see why he would miss this game. I think Kevin Alvarez is at full peak form, so I think he might be starting. And in the left-back position, I think you're either going to see Borja or Calderón. I would love to see Rosano, but I don't think that's going to be the case. It's going to be either one of those two. In the midfield, though, this is going to be interesting. If he does go with that 4-3-3 formation, the one player that I do think is going to get to start regardless is going to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, and if you believe otherwise, Chris, but I believe it's going to be Chiquito Sanchez, the for sure guaranteed starter there. And
let me add some context that I just kind of looked at the schedule. We play Tuesday.
We play Tuesday? So there's a doble jornada already?
Yeah, we play Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
It's it right here on Footmob says Santos on Saturday, and then Tuesday we play against San Luis.
Yeah, we got San Luis on Tuesday. I didn't even look at that.
It's so very I kind of feel like there's going to be a mixture. is going to be a mixture.
Yeah, well, he's going to be rotating regardless.
Be live during the game, too, after the game.
Yeah, we have to figure out a way to break that down. Yeah, it's a 5 o'clock, so we'll probably go live after that game and we'll break it down and talk in regards to that. And okay, well, one thing's for sure, I think we'll see a mixture of starters, those who we think are full and fit and can go, and then transition some of the other ones, give them a little bit more time to get ready. But what do you want to see from this game specifically in the tactical side of things? How does America approach this game in order to walk away with the 3 points? You talked about a Santos that is struggling to get anything going for themselves. How do you kind of maybe bury the hatchet here and kind of kill them off from the beginning?
With the mentality of gaining confidence, right? Like I said, there's players. You said it that the second half of the Miami game, you kind of got players that didn't really have the mindset. Kind of felt rusty, kind of just felt like they were just out there to do nothing, just, you know. So whoever those players are, right, whoever you comes into your mind, if they're out there, this is about gaining that momentum, taking up all that rust. You already partied enough. Now it's just simply straight down to business. And I do think, you know, that has to be the mindset. You have to look at the Santos team for what it is. Mind you, this game, any game against America is usually where teams say, this is where we bounce back. This is where our season starts. This is where the season doesn't go to waste. And it's always against America, right? That's the mindset of any team. And as any former player, will they sit here and tell you that they got bonuses because they played beat America. So this is the mindset that they're going to come in with. So America needs to have the mindset saying, you know what, we're going to go out there and destroy. We're going to be out there and defend. We're going to go out there and be the best version of ourselves early on. And if we don't hit the moon, we land in the stars or whatever that saying is, right? Point is, you're gonna have to just look very good. If you don't destroy them, it's cool as long as we win and we look like a very dominating team that we are, right? It's early on, like you said, this feels like the first game of the season, but you also have to realize the quality of team we are and the quality team that we're playing, right? No disrespect to Santos, but it's clear as day that they don't invest, and it has backfired on them very heavily, you know. So for us, we really have to just show, like, you know, you guys aren't enough to beat us. That has to be the mindset.
Yeah, I agree. There's something that I feel like America needs to do, and it's pick up where they last left off from. And I'm not saying specifically last season. I'm saying from the Clausura of 2023 when we were winning the Bicampeonato. Pick off from there. Because this last season that America won the Tricampeonato was very much like a disaster, right? Injuries left, right, and center. You never had a cohesive squad. You didn't really get to play the formation or the tactics that the manager thought he wanted to implement, right? It was so much more of like, okay, how can I minimize the risk and still find a way to get results in this matchup? And I think that's what we saw most of the second end of 2024. It's how can you pick up from the first 6 months of 2024, adapt them and bring them into this new year, and how can you make it, you know, how can you evolve that and again, adapt to the style that you were once had. Yeah, it's a very impressive team, a very in control America that would dominate from beginning to end. That is what I think we need to see. And I'm not saying that has to happen in these next 90 minutes, but I do want to see glimpses of that and, you know, prolong it for long periods of time. And especially if it's against a Santos team that is struggling to get anything going for them. So that is something that I do want to see. And another thing, look, you're going to be in the hot seat if you don't get anything going, because the youngsters just showcased that they could do it against two other teams, and they most likely could have done it against Santos. So now the question is, how are you going to respond to that? You know, the youngsters showed out and balled out, and the respect that they deserve is at least for the first team to go out there and not necessarily demolish Santos, but beat them and showcase that there's a reason why there is such a gap in between U23 and the first team, you know? So I do think that there is going to be that added pressure that, again, it's not a bad thing by any means necessary. It's added pressure that could be good pressure as well to signal that, hey, you know what? We're going to showcase and we're going to demonstrate why we are the first team. So, again, that's something to look forward to in this matchup against Santos. And hopefully it's not a game that disappoints. Put it that way. So, should be a fun one. Now, that game is going to be at 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. That matchup is going to be live via TUDN, VIX, and I think Univision. But don't quote me on that last part. But TUDN and VIX will be the two destinations for this game. And yeah, I mean, we're looking forward to America beating the worst team in Liga MX right now. They're literally sitting last in 18th place, Chris.
Yeah, so it's sad to see a good team, historically a very competitive team like Santos, right? But that's another reason why, you know, I tell people, you know, you don't want a team filled with youngsters that might not be ready, because Santos doesn't invest. They have to put in youngsters, and their development isn't good if they're just losing and losing and losing and losing, right? Acevedo used to be highly rated, right? Now look at him. It's like, oh, his team loses, he gets caught a lot. You everything, you know, you need everything in order to really create great footballers, not just opportunities and let them sink or swim, which a lot of times they're going to sink if they don't get the proper help. So, yeah.
And the showcase is why Ochoa is just that much more special, because he was able to do it in the same similar situation, but still came out on top. Just saying. But yeah, look, ultimately that game should be an interesting one. We're going to learn a lot about this team from at least those first 90 minutes. And then, of course, the switch on to the next game is going to be very quick. So it's going to be rinse and repeat, just like this last weekend. Although this time it's going to be weekend and then weekday rather than the other way around. So should be fun, should be interesting. Again, stay tuned. Follow us over on, again, Twitter at Eagle Eye Podcast, Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast, TikTok at Eagle Eye Podcast. And YouTube as well. Obviously, if you're watching this, it's because you're on YouTube. So yeah, and if you are here on YouTube, or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, subscribe to the podcast. Make sure you leave a comment or a review. It really does help the channel, and it really does help the podcast a lot if you guys do end up doing that. And again, from the bottom of our hearts, we just say thank you for taking the time to do something just so small, but means so much to all of us here at the podcast. But with that said, we'll be back next week. We'll most likely be back after the matchup against San Luis, since it is going to be 5 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Central, and 8 o'clock Eastern. And then right after that, you guys can tune into the podcast, and we'll just discuss and rant about Club America. But with that said, Chris, anything else to add on before we kind of wrap it up here?
No, everything good. You know, we covered everything. Surprisingly fast, because we usually do kind of drag it a bit, but you know, I think we covered a lot. It's early on in the season. There's not much to talk about. Transfer news has been very slow all month. So, no, we covered everything. If you guys have any questions, reach out. You know, our DMs are open. You know, even individually, you could, you know, message us. We're all friendly. We're all America fans, you know. So,
yeah, absolutely. We'll
all have those conversations.
Yeah, always and forever. So, again, thank you to all of you guys who watched this or who listened to this. And I know it wasn't a live show for those who were anticipating the live show. We were having some technical difficulties with this new streaming provider. But it looks like we've got everything up and running again. And we should be back next week with a live show. So don't worry about any of that. We'll be back next week. With that said, just thank you again. Make sure you guys follow us. We'll keep you guys up to date minute by minute with what's going on. AG does an amazing job at sharing the goals and the gifts and the reactions. If you don't believe me, go check us out right now. He did a wonderful job covering the ladies who, by the way, won 3-0. So shout out to them in what looks to be a very good high scoring season for them as well. But yeah, shout out to AJ for all the wonderful and great work. And with that said, I guess we'll just leave you guys to it. We'll be back next week to talk all things Club America. Until then, take care. And as always, Arriba America. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was another production of the Eagle Eye Podcast. the number one source for all things Club America in English. Make sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eagle Eye Podcast and get all the latest news and coverage. And subscribe to our podcast wherever it is you may listen.